Hello, Bulls Nation. Welcome to another episode of the Rebuildable Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gentile. And of course, after a furious start to the offseason, things are starting to die down for the Bulls and really for the rest of the league. It's always expected. Right after 4th of July weekend, things taper off, and now pretty much everything is set. But I want to talk about what's next heading into the regular season, because I think there's one more move left to make for the Bulls. But before we get into that, I have two announcements regarding the podcast. First, I mentioned a few weeks ago that we were going to halt rebuilding plans soon. Well, that time is officially here. Last week's episode with Wise Black was the last rebuilding plan for the foreseeable future. And we're doing that because the Bulls roster is pretty much set. We sort of know what's happening going into the 2020 season, so I think it's best to put that on the shelf now and revisit that at a later time. Our episodes throughout the season, whether it's me flying solo like I am today or with a guest, we'll look at what's happening that given week and how it plays into the long-term vision of the Bulls. So the backdrop of the rebuild and title contention will still be the main focus, but it will relate to what's happening with the current roster. I think that will allow Bulls fans to really reflect on whether or not the rebuild's working in the moment. Now, will the rebuilding plan return? Absolutely. Depending how the season goes, we might jump back into it sooner rather than later, especially if they're not doing so hot. But at the very least, the rebuilding plan episodes, those will be back at the end of the season, whenever that is. If it's at the end of the regular season or if the Bulls get into the playoffs, then after the postseason run is over, we'll go back to those. And we've received some really good feedback and positive comments on that format from listeners, guests that have come on and contributed. It's gotten pretty good reviews for the format, and I definitely want to bring that back, and we'll tweak it when we do. So those won't be shelved permanently. They'll definitely be back in the near future. Second announcement, it has to do with a special series we're bringing to Bulls Nation. So starting August 1st, the Rebuildable Podcast proudly presents a new five-part series called Grading Garpacks. We'll be laying out more details in the first episode, but the series will take an in-depth look at both John Paxson and Gar Forman's body of work over the last 16 years. In part one, Chicago sports historian Jack Silverstein and I, we're going to set the table overviewing the entire era. We actually recorded the episode last week. It sort of devolved into a therapy session for Jack, and it's still a great listen. Jack provides a lot of insight. If you don't follow him on Twitter, definitely give him a follow, @ReedJack, and he gives a lot of really in-depth looks at different teams in Chicago, especially the Bulls. So I think you'll really enjoy that first episode. It serves as a great backdrop to the whole series. In parts two through four, though, I'll be joined by a couple of guests in each of those episodes to grade all the notable moves and missteps throughout the periods of Garpacks' regime. So I'll get into more detail of what those will be divided into, but the gist of it is we'll have an episode dedicated to those Ben Gordon, Kirk Heinrich, Lou Alding Bulls, another episode dedicated to the D. Rose, Tom Thibodeau era of the Bulls, and then the last episode from that will be looking at the present-day version of the Chicago Bulls. The fifth and final episode is going to be a recap of the whole thing, and I'll give the final grade on the entire 16-year run of John Paxson and Gar Forman. Again, that debuts on August 1st. We'll have more details in the first episode of how the format will be, what eras we're going to break down, how the grading system will work. All those will be laid out in the first episode on August 1st. And I thought this would be a perfect time to really reflect, because we just wrapped up the fury of the offseason, and you're sort of in that lull before you get to the beginning of the year. Preseason doesn't start until late September. A lot of the game action doesn't start until early October with preseason, and then the regular season kicks off late in October. So I thought this would be a really good time to do sort of a retrospective on Garpacks, who have been through three different rebuilds. So this podcast is all about rebuilding the Chicago Bulls, and Garpacks have had three swings at this, so I figured, why don't we really take a deep dive into some of the work they've done? I think it'll be interesting, because in the moment, I think there's a good split in the fan base on where they're at with Garpacks. I tend to think that most fans are sort of leaning towards skepticism. And I think a lot of us have sort of a black and white look, where maybe this series might give you some shades of gray, where you say, you know what, they did some good things, and if you're on the other side, you might say, you know what, they did botch some things here and there. So I think it'll be a nice look. And again, that's August 1st. That's a Thursday, and we'll be tweeting out plenty of details. Some of the guests that might join during the grading portion of grading guard packs. You know, I'm superstitious about naming names until the podcasts have been recorded, but I'm going to go ahead and just throw out a few names. Karen Zulis from Bulls HQ podcast and bloggable.com. He's going to be joining us for an episode. We got Big Dave Watson is coming on. The guest I'm probably most excited about, who's making their Rebuildable debut, is the Podfather, Doug Tonis. You have to have the Podfather. Throughout the Guard Packs regime, Doug was always prominent in the blogging and podcast genre, covering and talking about the Chicago Bulls. So I'm really excited to get his thoughts. I think we're going to have him talk about the earlier portion of the Guard Packs regime. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And again, that's August 1st. Now, what about right now? In the moment, what's going on with the Chicago Bulls? Well, like I said at the beginning here, a lot of the moves have been made. And we've talked about a lot of them. The addition of Coby White, Tomas Satoransky, Thaddeus Young, Luke Kornet, the return of Ryan Arcidiacono, the return now of Shaq Harrison. That was the latest move announced last week. And what's interesting, though, is the next move that probably is coming is subtraction. Now, the Chicago Bulls, as the roster stands right now, have 16 players. You have to have 15 by the start of the season. So who's going to go? Casey Johnson from the Chicago Tribune last week, he mentioned two possibilities. The Bulls could either waive Antonio Blakeney, who's got a very palatable salary to eat, or they could end up trading Chris Dunn. Neither probably would be a shock to anybody at this point. But I thought about this. If you had to do one or the other, which would you do? I think in a vacuum, in terms of just talent, a no-brainer would be keep Chris Dunn because he's a better basketball player. No disrespect to Marcus Couch from the Bulls podcast. I know he's a big fan of Antonio Blakeney as a bench player. I don't see it. You know, I feel like he's been the same player since his days at LSU. Guy that just chucks up shots, and that's about it. Now, it's cool to have that guy on your bench every now and then, but I feel like Chris Dunn probably offers you a little more in terms of versatility. He gives you a little bit of defense, can facilitate a little bit better on offense. Sure, things maybe aren't working out here, but I think he's going to be a guy that plays a long time in this league, Chris Dunn, in some capacity, whether that's starting or as a reserve. He's going to have a role in the NBA. I don't know about Antonio Blakeney, but when you look at the situation, it might be better to go ahead and trade Chris Dunn instead of waive Antonio Blakeney. And here's why. The way the Bulls are set up right now, you got four guys that can fill the point guard role, excluding Chris Dunn. So you take Chris Dunn out of the picture, you got four guys that can fill the point guard spot. You keep Chris Dunn, that's five guys that you got to split up minutes for. Now, the cool thing about the Bulls is they have guys that are versatile. So when you look at Coby White, okay, Coby White, he's probably considered more of a natural point guard, but he could play the two guard. He has a little bit of a combo guard body. Tomas Satoransky, same deal. Could play the two and the three in a pinch. Better at the point guard spot, but could play those two spots if you need him to. Ryan Arcidiacono can play the two, can play the one. Depends if you want to go with a bigger or smaller lineup. Shaq Harrison can play point guard, of course, but definitely has the ability to step in as a two guard. A little bit of a smaller two guard, but he can definitely step into that role if need be. So there's versatility at those spots. But if you look at the way that the roster's set, you just signed Tomas Satoransky to a three-year, $30 million contract. That means he's going to get his minutes. We know that. It looks like he's probably going to start. He's going to get minutes. Coby White was picked number 7 overall. I know he's a rookie. He's going to have to be eased into some things, but he's probably going to earn plenty of minutes, whether that's coming off the bench as a point guard or playing a little bit of the two guard. He's going to get his playing time. I think that's a no-brainer. You just signed Ryan Arcidiacono to a three-year, $9 million contract. Now, $3 million a year is not a lot of money, and you know it's what you pay for some reserves in the NBA. If the Bulls weren't planning on giving Ryan Arcidiacono minutes, I don't think they would pay him $3 million a year to come back. They would have just let some other cheaper alternative come back at that point, I think. So he's probably going to get some minutes, even if he's the 11th guy or he's part of the regular rotation. He's going to get his chance to play. And Shaq Harrison's the guy that you're rounding out at the end of the bench and a quality depth piece. I like bringing him back. He's definitely a guy that can step in a pinch if injuries do pile up. We know he facilitates the ball well, really scrappy defender. He's just a good guy to have at the end of the bench if you need to in case of emergency. But if you keep Chris Dunn, you know, where does it all balance out in terms of minutes? I was thinking about this the other day. If you really were to create the rotations for the Bulls right now, let's say, and I know Jim Boylan said during the summer league in Vegas that, you know, Chris Dunn would be the starting point guard. I don't know if I buy that. I think that's just him trying to help the organization build value for him in any type of trade package. But when you really break down the rotations, looks like Tuomas Satoransky is going to start at the point guard spot. Makes perfect sense. We know Levine's starting at the two guard, Otto Porter at the three, Lauri Markkanen at the four, Wendell Carter Jr. at the five. Starting lineup set. So when you go to the reserves, this is where it gets interesting. If you want to play with a bigger lineup, you can have White at the point guard spot. I think he's going to get his minutes, so pencil him in there. Denzel Valentine at the two guard. Or Chandler Hutchison. Better suited probably to play the small forward, but his size would tell you, play the two. I'd say Thad Young steps in at the three. Again, this is for a larger lineup. Young has versatility to play the three or the four. But in this lineup, I'd say he can go in the three. If you want to have two big guys, you could go with Daniel Gafford at the power forward spot and then Luke Kornet at the center spot. So that's, again, a large lineup. But now if I want to go with a smaller lineup, I can go with a backcourt of White and Archie Diakono. I can go with Denzel or Hutch at the three, Thad Young at the four, and either Gafford or Kornet at the five. So that's if I want to go with a little bit of a smaller, faster lineup. Now, you could plug in Chris Dunn into any of these lineups. If you wanted, you could plug him in the backcourt with Coby White, because both can handle the ball, both can play off the ball. Here's where I think it might become an issue, though. Chris Dunn is going to probably expect regular playing time. And I don't know if you can fully guarantee that. I just don't know if that's fully guaranteed. And I just don't want the Bulls to force the issue of playing him to build up his trade value. You know, he clearly isn't in their long-term plans. If he was still in their long-term plans, they wouldn't have beefed up the presence of combo guards on this roster. Okay? That doesn't happen if you have confidence in a guy. So I think they're trying to find ways to move him and get some value for him. I think the only issue is his value is pretty low right now. You know, they might be able to get a conditional first that's heavily protected. Maybe they get 2 second-round picks. I don't know. I really couldn't tell you what the trade value is for Chris Dunn. So maybe what the Bulls are trying to do, and if you think about this, this could be a possibility, is what if Ryan Arcidiacono, since, you know, he's here on a 3-year deal, maybe he's the guy that's going to be the good soldier. And maybe for the first half of the year, you end up playing Dunn off the bench with Coby White. And one of those guys plays off the ball. And they're hoping that trade value builds up for Chris Dunn, where come trade deadline, you're able to part with him, maybe get some draft capital in return, and then you roll with Ryan Arcidiacono in the reserve role. Maybe that's the scenario that the Bulls are hoping for. I just don't know if I want to deal with that early in the season. I would like to see Coby White get as many minutes as he can. I would like to see Ryan Arcidiacono get as many minutes as he can. I mean, I think he earned that right, and given the contract they gave him, you might as well play him. So I'd rather roll with the best possible lineup and the lineup that I know is going to work long term. And I think that involves Coby White getting prominent minutes. You know, even if you're bringing him along slowly, bring him along slowly off the bench, but give him playing time. You know, you don't want to bury him at the end of the bench and just have him watch games. Let him play. So I just hope that they don't do this because they just want to do anything they can to build up Chris Dunn's trade value. I'd rather just try and cash in right now, see what I can get for him, and then roll with the roster you got. So yes, I guess if I had a pick, which I'd rather have, I guess I would rather just trade Chris Dunn. You know, I'm not giving a vote of confidence to Antonio Blakeney. I mean, hell, if I'm the Bulls, I'd maybe do both. Trade Chris Dunn to see what I can get now, so I can free up more minutes for those point guards I got on my roster. And then I would waive Antonio Blakeney and see if I can upgrade with a 3-and-D wing. I mean, I'll throw this out here to you. There's some interesting names remaining on the free agent market. Good veteran wing players. One of the names that's pretty obvious, Vince Carter, he's still looking for a home. It might not be a bad addition. I mean, he's not the kind of guy that's going to demand a lot of minutes anymore. He might be able to give you some quality minutes even at 40 years old, and you know, certainly is a solid player. But now if you don't want to go with Vince Carter, another veteran out there, Jamal Crawford, he's still on the market. I know that was a name Jordan Malley brought up on our first episode. He mentioned bringing in a guy like Jamal Crawford to bring more veteran presence. Now, you could argue Bulls have enough veteran presence. Go with somebody younger. If you want somebody younger, I mean, it's pretty dried up at the moment. Like, you'd have to go with, you might have to bring back, you know, TLC. And I think some people don't want to see Luau Cabarrot back on the Bulls. But, you know, it might be a little bit better than bringing back Antonio Blakeney. You could take a swing at J.R. Smith, but I think it's going to cost you money. That doesn't seem like it's helpful. So I think Vince Carter, Jamal Crawford, maybe Thabo Sefolosha, Bulls reunion. I don't think you're going to get a lot of young up-and-comers. So I just feel like you could add more quality than a guy like Antonio Blakeney. But I think the key move, again, to sort of wrap it up here, would be trying to move Chris Dunn so that way you can have set minutes in that rotation. It gets Kobe White playing time. It ensures Tomas Satoransky playing time, Ryan Arcidiacono playing time. Because again, you brought them in for a reason. Tomas Satoransky, again, you gave him $30 million. You gave Arcidiacono $9 million. You drafted Kobe White number 7 overall. You did it so you can eventually play them. You know, so I think trading Chris Dunn, it's really addition by subtraction. You're allowing more minutes for the guys that you see as part of your long-term plan, especially Kobe White. Kobe White is part of the Bulls' long-term plan. Tomas Satoransky is this guy who's going to help bridge from now to the future. You have guys like that along the way. Maybe he plays himself into a long-term role. You never know. Ryan Arcidiacono seems like he's going to be a role player on this team for a while. You know, he's seems like the prototypical Garpax rotation player. So he probably has a role on this team going forward. So give those guys the minutes. Instead of Chris Dunn, who's not in the Bulls' long-term plans. Just the truth. So it'll be interesting to see what the Bulls do next. And again, what we're going to do next on the Rebuildable Podcast, our next episode is going to be part one of the Grading Garpax series. It's again with Jack Silverstein, notable Chicago sports historian. You don't want to miss it. We go into a really in-depth discussion on the Garpax era. It's kind of like a good therapy session. So I think, again, it's must listen. So thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in next week. Thank you for listening to the Rebuildable Podcast. Be sure to check out more episodes on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Rebuildable.com.